This episode of Type 1 Radio Lounge is a live recording from the Winchester British Constitution Group conference held on the 19th of November 2016. It's a talk by a woman of great integrity and compassion, qualities sadly lacking in most of our politicians and journalists. A woman who has put her life at risk to do what all journalists should do, and that is check the facts before you repeat a story. She has checked the facts, and what they reveal is a picture quite contrary to that being broadcast by our mainstream media outlets, in particular BBC and Channel 4 News in Great Britain. The talk received a standing ovation at the recent conference, and we hope you will be inspired to look deeper into her work to fully appreciate the gravity that this information brings. This is Vanessa Beely.
Before I actually begin with the presentation, in which I'm going to demonstrate how Britain is actually the force that is driving the shadow state construct in Syria, and is sort of implanting a NATO construct to replace and eradicate Syrian institutions and state humanitarian NGOs that exist and are functioning inside Syria. I want to make two things very clear. I came back from 4 weeks inside Syria during the end of July, leading up to the beginning of September, during which time with the United States Peace Council, I had the privilege to meet many opposition members, parliamentary opposition members, unarmed opposition members based in Syria, not external to Syria, sort of basically orchestrating events in Syria from the comfort of United States think tanks and opposition constructs and organizations. During that time, I also had a very interesting, a very informative meeting with President al-Assad himself. And among that, spoke to many religious leaders, people on the ground, NGOs inside Syria. I then had the privilege to go back on my own as an independent researcher, during which time I could follow my research into what I'm calling the British dystopian shadow state building project inside Syria. Syria is not a civil war, let's make this very clear straight away. Syria is a war, a dirty war, being waged by the US and the UK. The UK is a primary player in this. It's a primary motor behind the intelligence that is leading this war. Obviously, other coalition members, the EU, Turkey, Qatar, the Gulf states, and Israel, one of the primary beneficiaries. These nations have flooded Syria with armed mercenaries that I call terrorists. I call them terrorists under any branding, under any name, whether it is Nusra, which is Al-Qaeda Syrian affiliate, whether it's al-Sham, whether it's Daesh al-Islam. It makes no difference to the Syrian people. For the Syrian people, these militants, these mercenaries, being paid, armed, funded, and equipped by our UK regime, are butchering the Syrian people. They are kidnapping children. They are torturing relatives. We have to be very clear about this. Our government is involved in a criminal, murderous project inside Syria in order to enable regime change, and using implanted citizen journalists, activists, humanitarian NGOs, all backed and funded by this coalition, this axis of intervention, to produce the propaganda that will enable the no-fly zone, or the safe zone, or the no-bomb zone, all of them designed to reduce Syria to the same failed state as we saw in Libya. There is no sectarianism in Syria. Syria is a secular state. And having been there, I can tell you that Christian, Shia Muslim, Sunni Muslim, Alawite Muslim, Druze, area of the infestation that our governments have inflicted upon it. This was actually the journey that I made to Aleppo during August, around the 14th of August. This is the road leading into Aleppo. This is what our government, our regime, has reduced this country that has been, that has more civilization and culture and heritage than we can even begin to imagine. This is what it's been reduced to. This is just a very brief glimpse of what this country has been reduced to by our government's intervention, our regime's intervention into a sovereign state. This is the road leading into Aleppo, the Aleppo that is now on all your news channels. And it's being hugely misreported by state-aligned media. This is a familiar view in Syria right now. Decimated towns and villages, not by the Syrian Air Force and the Russian Air Force bombing, as you hear, but majority by the terrorists, the mercenaries, the militants, hell cannon fire, shells, and Brad missiles that they've now been supplied, particularly in the north of Syria. December 2015, we saw the British government start to publish the level of its funding of this Syrian crisis. At this point, we had over 100 million that was being designated for items such as the moderate armed opposition. We already know that the moderates is one of those sort of mythical concepts. Actually, as President Al-Assad described it, the unicorn concept. Media activists, £5.3 million. To basically train media activists to produce propaganda that enables further intervention, military escalation, the no-fly zone, you name it. Syrian National Coalition, direct funding of the opposition. So you have there funding that's coming from taxpayers' money in the UK to fund a campaign against a sovereign nation. I don't know how you all feel about that, but I wouldn't be particularly happy about it. And that's only the beginning of it. In January again, the UK put about £4 million into what they call the Free Syrian Police. Syria has a police force. It's a perfectly capable police force, and it's a police force which is greatly loved and respected by the Syrian people that I met inside Syria. So why is your government spending your money on producing a police force in a country that doesn't need it? Mr. Hammond. January 2016. Mr. Hammond made a visit to an area of Turkey, not Syria, Turkey. I can almost guarantee you that not one of these ministers that is spending your money on a war in another country in Syria has been to Syria. I can almost guarantee that. He's in Turkey. Now, the word here that is very important, he visits the Syria Civil Defense, I'll come to that in a bit. The White Helmets. Now, many of you may have already seen my work and read my work on the White Helmets. I will be kind of running through it again, so for those that don't know too much about it, I'll run through it again. But what I want to focus on here, he goes to meet members of the most successful and high-profile rescue organization. Isn't that a weird wording for a rescue organization? For a humanitarian NGO? High profile? Strikes me as quite strange. Anyway, here he's basically saying that they've contributed about £20 million over the past 2.5 years. I will explain a little bit later in the presentation why this also is so ridiculous But please remember the Free Syrian Police. Syria doesn't need Britain to create a police force for them. Then in February, we had the Supporting Syria and the Region conference, run again by the British, raised allegedly 11 billion in pledges to support Syrians and the region. Syria doesn't need our support. All they actually need us to do is to stop economic terrorism, to lift the sanctions that are crippling Syrian people and collectively punishing them for resisting our regime's interventionism in their country. And at this conference, the UK invested an extra 1.2 billion of taxpayers' money to support Syria. As I said, Syria does not want Britain's support. It actually wants Britain to get its terrorists out of Syria and to leave Syria to manage its own affairs without foreign meddling.
Gaziantep, or near Gaziantep, at a huge refugee camp, which is one of the camps that is being supported by the UK. People don't realise we're giving about £2.3 billion in aid to Syria. And I've just met some of the people who were supporting with a big programme to train the police force in cities like Aleppo and Hama and Idlib, places where they need security, they need reassurance, they need the police to be integrated with society, being funded by UK taxpayers, and people being trained by a former UK military staff. Absolutely overwhelming to see it. And of course, mind-clearing operation being done by the White Helmets. So these are fantastically brave people who go to the site of explosions and pull people from the bombings, they pull people from the rubble. One of the most sickening things now, of course, is that the Russians and the regime are double-tapping. As soon as the White Helmets come to the site and start to rescue the wounded and take them away, they bomb again. And I think that is absolutely unthinkable, outrageous way to behave. But they are fantastically brave, these White Helmets. I'm proud to say we're giving them another £32 million of funding as part of a wider £65 million package for a non-humanitarian aid. So it's basically
Boris, I can handle it. But did you actually hear a further 32 million in aid is going to this construct, the White Helmets? Then let's have a look at where all of these organisations, I'm going to focus on the White Helmets today because basically it's a very good demonstration of what Britain is doing, but the White Helmets are not the only concept that they're working on to replace and eradicate the Syrian. Not in Gaziantep, in Turkey, not in Syria. All of the, or the majority of the sort of the Aleppo radio stations, the Aleppo media centre, the White Helmets, various other organisations, NGOs supposedly, local council replacement for inside Syria, activists, are all based in Gaziantep. Now let's get an idea of what this place is. The plane from Istanbul to Gaziantep is actually called the Jihad Express. I don't actually like using the term jihad because jihad in Islamic philosophy is about the personal struggle. So again, this is a term that has been appropriated and dehumanized by our government. However, it is the hub for all terrorist activity. It's where the terrorists fly into, it's where they're equipped, it's where they're armed, it's where they're funded before they then enter through the Turkish border into Syria. And that is about 60 miles away from Gaziantep. So this just gives you an idea of how this backward and forward traffic is conducted from Turkey into Syria, carrying terrorists, carrying arms, carrying funds, carrying logistical equipment, diggers, bobcats, particularly to the White Helmets in Idlib. Idlib is right on that border. Now I'm going to actually get to the White Helmets, a very British affair, and I'm going to explain why. Bear in mind that this organisation describes itself as an NGO, a non-governmental organisation. It describes itself as neutral, impartial, non-sectarian. It will save anybody because saving one person is saving all humanity, according to its president very recently on his US promotional tour. This gives you an idea of why it's a very British affair. At the top are people in Syria, our people in Syria. I mean, this is an extraordinary example of global north to global south supremacism and exceptionalism. What right do we, as a regime, have to be putting our people into Syria and eradicating, as I said again, the existing institutions inside Syria and going against the sovereign will of the majority of the Syrian people? We have no right. This is an organization chart that the UK Column very kindly put together for me. Thank you, Mike. In the center, the White Helmets. To the left, you see James the Missourian. James the Missourian is a British maverick. He's what I would call the James Bond of this entire network. He's an ex-British military, Sandhurst trained, very high-level operative. He's worked, when you look at his connections, he connects into a private security group called the Olive Group, which in, I think, May 2015 was merged into the Constellus Group, yet another private security group, that has in its portfolio Academist. Now, Academist was Blackwater. You may recognize the name Blackwater. You may also know the fact that under Bush, Blackwater was basically taken on board as the outreach assassination agent for the CIA. But equally under Obama, Obama gave it $250 million to continue outsourcing assassinations from the CIA to Blackwater in order to distance the government and the CIA and the deep state from any assassination projects. James the Missourian has also operated in areas such as Kosovo, Iraq, Palestine, Yemen, Afghanistan. This is a very high-level operator who has been in the right place at the right time whenever Britain has been involved in an illegal intervention in a sovereign state. He created the White Helmets in 2013. He was brought in to train them. So an ex-military trainer was brought in to train a humanitarian organization that is being funded not only by the British government. The British government is the primary funder. I think we're at around £65 million. Also funded by USAID, which again is the United States government CIA-linked outreach agent that is used to infiltrate target nations for intervention. They've put in around $23 million in funding. The EU, including Holland, France, Denmark, Germany, and various others, have put in smaller amounts of money, but you know, between $4 million and $10 million. And Japan has also invested, and more recently, Qatar. One of the Gulf states, which has very publicly been shown to be funding the terrorist organizations inside Syria, has made public that they are now funding and supporting and endorsing the White Helmets. So this immediately, for me, negates, makes it an illegitimate claim to be a non-governmental organization. James the Missourian then created Mayday Rescue in 2014. Mayday Rescue is basically used as a foundation money laundering center. The money that comes into the White Helmets goes through Radio Rescue to them. At the top you have Riad Salah. Riad Salah is the president of the White Helmets. He was refused entry into the United States in April 2016. And when pushed, the US State Department finally admitted that it was because he had extremist connections, but somehow the group itself was not associated with those extremist connections. Bearing in mind that the United States bombed Iraq because they had extremist connections. Farouk al-Habib, another one of the leaders of the White Helmets in the bottom right, is a member of the Revolutionary Council, which again has connections back to the CIA. It's a CIA concept. He was also involved, excuse me, in Homs. Homs, if you remember, had another British-produced agent working on the propaganda, on disseminating propaganda from there, Danny Abdul Deir, who was exposed as a fake activist and reporter in his CNN reports when he was in fact in a studio saying he was being bombed, and it was proven that he was in a studio. He was British produced. Joe Cox. Joe Cox campaigned very strongly for a no-fly zone. She campaigned very strongly for intervention in Syria. She was to an extent a total Blairite as regards Syria. This is an important point, and I'll tell you why I'm getting on to this. She gave an interview shortly before she died, which was not published very widely. And in this, as far as I'm concerned, she made it very clear why she supported, or why the government supported the White Helmets, and what they are being used for. They've got really interesting ideas about channeling money, getting aid in, and thinking creatively about how they cooperate. Channeling money in. Money's not the only thing that they're channeling in. We know that the arms running trade has got to be entering from, as I said, Gaziantep and across the Turkey-Syrian border. What better way to bring all of this equipment in than under the first responder humanitarian umbrella? The Joe Cox Fund. Yes, that's taken a couple of days ago, 1.9 million. This is where you guys are being criminally associated with your regime's crimes in Syria. Because Joe Cox's death has been exploited 12 hours after her death. This fund was set up to raise money for, among others, the White Helmets. And I can't go into too much detail about the four people that set up this fund, but just to give you a very brief overview, they have all previously been involved in behavioral insight, in regime change operations, and public perception altering. So there's four very powerful individuals involved in the regime change in Syria and in previous regime change, as for example Kosovo, who set this fund up 12 hours after Joe Cox was murdered. This year, the White Helmets have won or been nominated for an extraordinary number of awards. Some of you might have been following the Nobel Peace Prize campaign, which was run on behalf of our state-aligned media to promote the White Helmets for the Nobel Peace Prize, ending, I think, with the Telegraph on the morning of the Nobel Prize announcement, virtually threatening that if the White Helmets didn't win this award, it was an endorsement for Putin to further escalate violence in Syria. They failed on the Nobel Peace Prize, and that's a very important point because I think that was true truth to power. You, the public, rose up against this obscene parody that's going on here, and you protested. on every single social media site, on every single media site. The Guardian couldn't actually censor the comments fast enough. These are the images that you're very familiar with of the white helmets rescuing. However, they're always rescuing children. Where do these children come from? And where are they going? And why are these children repeated? In other words, why do you see the same child repeated in different incidents, always the same format of photograph? White helmet running towards the camera with the child. I will just raise this question. Where do these children come from? There are 200,000 alleged orphans inside Syria. And this organization, the White Helmets, works with a French organization called the Syria Charity that has been set up to highlight the plight of the so-called orphans inside Syria. Nusra Front has kidnapped thousands, if not tens of thousands, of children inside Syria. I am just putting this idea out there. These are the real White Helmets. These photographs are taken from their social media pages. This is who they really are. You will all recognize Omran Taknish. However, have a look at this boy on the left. Look at his ears. From a biometric point of view, have a look at the ears and the hair. This guy on the left is a white helmet. Again, I'm just putting that idea out there. Where do these children come from? Why are there so many children without parents being used for these photographs? These photographs that are enabling the British regime to further escalate its efforts inside Syria to effect regime change. But that's what your money is going to. Those are the so-called demining specialists, demining with drills. Now this is where, for me, it gets kind of personal, because when I was in Syria, I met the real Syrian Civil Defense. This organization has been in existence since 1953. These groups, these crew members, are based throughout Syria, and they work tirelessly and without any funding whatsoever under our government's economic terrorism, under illegal sanctions, to the point where when I was in Aleppo, they told me that one of their crew members, Mohammed Ibish, aged 36, had died in one of the terrorist chemical attacks on Western Aleppo. Why? Because he didn't have a gas mask. They're unable to replace equipment, so he was working with a paper oxygen mask under a chemical weapon attack. He was overwhelmed by the fumes and he died during the operation. They are a member of the ICDO, the International Civil Defense Organization. In fact, they're founder members. Now, just before the Nobel Peace Prize announcement, oddly, the link to the Syrian Arab Republic civil defense was sabotaged. When you pressed on the link, it went to the White Helmets. Surprise, surprise. So a number of us called the ICDO. And actually what they told us was very interesting. They said basically that they'd had so many calls and emails from you, the public, to ask why this had happened. But the very important fact that they made is that they do not even consider the White Helmets to be a civil defense organization. The only organization they recognize are the real Syria Civil Defense. And the only organisation that the UN recognises is the real civil defence. So we have a very clear case of our regime, our British regime, creating, funding, arming, promoting a completely fraudulent organisation that is designed to undermine and supplant an existing humanitarian organisation that is working for its own people, so real Syrians working for real Syrians inside Syria, that does not need our involvement in their activity. Simple questions we need to be asking ourselves now. One, our government, our regime, is funding terrorism and shadow state building in Syria with our money, with your money. The UK government is making the British public a party to its crimes against humanity, its terror funding and illegal proxy intervention inside Syria via its emotive crowdfunding schemes, the Joe Cox Fund, among others. The UK government should be prosecuted under its own Terrorism Act 2006. It's transmitting terrorist propaganda and blatant support of terrorism. The UK government is in violation of Articles 1 and 2 of the UN Charter. It's acting lawlessly and criminally against a sovereign nation and deliberately derailing the self-determination of the Syrian people, the majority of whom stand behind their government, even if they are opposed to it. Why? Because they don't believe in killing their country to improve their country. We have to make a choice. Do we want to be remembered in history as supporting our government in these illegal, criminal, and murderous acts, not only in our own country, but in other countries? And actually, as Max made the point, we're all Syrian. They need us to stand up against what our government is trying to do to them. I've listened to all these talks this morning, and believe me, I would rather be in Syria than in this country, and yet our country believes it can impose its will and its vision for the Syrian people upon the Syrian people. Well, they don't want it. And as we are all the Syrian people, we owe them our determination to prevent another failed state in Syria and to stand by their sovereignty and their self-determination.